You know, babies have to be fed, but if you have to spoon feed a 13-year-old, something is wrong. Am I right about that?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of last week's message taken from the life of Joshua, we heard Pastor Brian Grant exhort believers of the crucial importance of meditating on God's Word and living out what He tells us as the first key to overcoming the fear of failure and experiencing success in life. Now, as Pastor Grant concludes his message, he continues with two more keys that enable the believer to take possession of all that God has intended. Here again is Pastor Grant with Overcoming the Fear of Failure.
Something is wrong. There comes a time in our lives when the manna has to stop. Amen? There comes a time in our lives when the manna has to stop. I'm not only talking about spiritually, I'm talking about physically. Let's see how far we can go with this. But you know, there are many Christians who have been saved for years, but they're still not spiritually mature. They still need manna. Keep your finger in Joshua, but we have to visit Hebrews. Don't mind me if I move you around the Bible. This is one way we get to, you know, we're supposed to be exploring the whole Bible. Amen? So let's see what it says here in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. When you get there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Amen. Okay. We'll go ahead and the others will catch us up. Amen. Hebrews 5:12, here's how it reads. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you know, there's some folks here this morning who by now, you've been saved so long, you ought to be teaching somebody. Come on now. But sadly, sometimes we're Christians for long, but we still are manna. We're still on baby food. He says, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you still need someone to teach you the first principles of the oracles of God. You still need somebody to teach you the ABC. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. God wants us. There has got to be a time that we start assuming more responsibility. My friend, the manna has to stop. And there's somebody here this morning I believe God is sending this message to, because I believe there's some Christian who you have hardly grown. You're always depending on somebody else. You always are asking. You're not growing. You're not teaching. You're not able to help anybody else. And God is saying to you this morning, it's time for the manna to stop. It's time for you to be able to stop living on baby food. We said earlier that true success is achieving God's purpose for our lives. But that won't happen until we start assuming responsibility for our growth. Amen? The manna has to stop. So write this down. God wants us to start assuming more responsibility, not only for our spiritual growth, but also for our practical growth. And one of the reasons some people fear failure is because they have never given thought to God's purpose for their life. Come on now. I wish we could have a question and answer, a feedback time. Where you could, and I wouldn't mind hearing from some of you. Have you been thinking about what's God's purpose for your life? Oh, I know what it is. Well, you know what? It's because of what you're doing. But do you know sometimes we get caught in an occupation or a situation that wasn't God's will for your life? I told you the story in my case. I was accepted. I mean, I was on the science track, and I was accepted in college to do sciences. And during the summer holidays, I got challenged so much about my faith. And religion, you know, the religion is the crutch of the alienated man and all this nonsense. I never studied all these social sciences. And during this summer holiday, God revealed it to me that it was His will that I should not study sciences after all, but I should change completely and do stuff that I had never done before. And so the first year of college, my economics professor, my politics professor, was the president of the Jamaica Communist Party. I tell you, that was a nice shift in perspective. But I learned all sorts of stuff which have been a tremendous help to me based on what God had called me to do. Sometimes you have no idea what God is calling you to do, but don't ever fall into the trap of assuming because of what you have done in high school or what you think you are best at, that's what God is calling you to do. You need to check with the CEO, the president of the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him, God, what is your will? What would you have me to do? And I tell you, that's when you find success. When you find that you have achieved God's purpose, when you're in the center of God's will, and don't let anybody tell you that God won't reveal His will to you. God is more anxious than you are. He's more anxious to tell you what His will is for your life than you are anxious to find it out. But when we get to the place where we're saying, God, what would you have me to do? And you're really serious about it, because sometimes we'll say it, but we don't mean it. But when we say that, God, in His grace, little by little, He will move you to where He wants you to be. And it is my prayer that somebody here today will say, God, what will you have me to do? But don't wait for a video of here is my life. Some of you are waiting for a video. God is going to tape, do a video of your entire life and send it to you by email. Here is your life. And then you can just watch it and know exactly what you're to do. It ain't happening that way. You know, in Genesis chapter 24, Isaac sent his servant Gehazi, or Gehazi, depending on how you like to pronounce it. He sent his servant Gehazi to find a wife for his son Isaac. And after Gehazi found Rebecca, in Genesis 24:27, he said this. Here's what he said. We're not going to turn to it. But in Genesis 24:27, Gehazi said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. I honestly believe that's a very powerful principle. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Sometimes you've got to get started on the journey without knowing the destination. You see, that's what it means to walk by faith. We start on the journey. We don't know exactly where the road is leading, but we're saying, God, I am willing. I surrender my all to you. And blessed God, wherever you lead me, I will follow. And so that's what happened with Gehazi. I being in the way, the Lord led me. And that's how many of us have come to where we are today, that God has led us. Sometimes, can I be honest? Sometimes we had to wake up. I remember in my case, before I was willing to make some changes, God had to remind me of a commitment I made at 17 years old when I had written in my Bible, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, because the night is coming when no man can work. And God had to ask me, Brian, was that all a joke? Or were you really serious? Are you serious? And God is asking somebody here this morning, are you serious about following me? When you said, I surrender all, was it for real or was it just a song? And this morning, by the power of the Spirit of God, God is going to be knocking. He's knocking right now at the heart of somebody. Somebody who is doing your thing, not God's thing. God is saying, hey, for some of you, do you know, for some of you, you may have to go back to school. Because some of you are not prepared for what God has in store for you. You dropped out of school, perhaps you dropped out of school. Some of you, you finished school, but God has plans for you. Some of you are going to need to be trained in, to do ministry. You need to go back because God has a different plan for you than the one you're trained in. And so God is speaking to hearts this morning and he's saying, listen, are you willing to let me lead you? Thank God it's never too late. Oh, you say I'm 30 years old, I can't go back to school. You better believe you can. I'm 22 years old. As I told some of you, my daddy didn't really learn to read and write till he was in his 20s. But by God's grace, God was able to use him. And what a mighty thing God can do in your life if today you say, God, I want to go your way. Well, what have we said so far? To overcome our fear of failure, we must determine to meditate on the Bible and to live it out. Second, we must start assuming more responsibility for our spiritual and practical growth. And third, put this in the notes. Don't be too quick to choose the road requiring the least effort. Don't be too quick to choose the road requiring the least effort. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites. Are you there, verse 12? And half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. What's this all about? God had promised the children, stay with me now, we're going to be landing the plane in the next 5 minutes. God had promised the children, or thereabout, God had promised the children of Israel a homeland in the promised land. But as they approached the Jordans, here's what happened. As the children of Israel were approaching the Jordan, the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh begged to be allowed to stay in the land they had seen rather than crossing the Jordan into the promised land. Can you imagine that? For all these years, you're focused on going to the promised land that God had chosen. And as you're coming closer, you see something that is so awesome. You said, please, don't let us have to go to the promised land. Oh, I know that is what God had decided, but please don't let us go there. You said, Brian, are you making that up? Turn to Numbers 32. Numbers. So it's, if you go back to Deuteronomy, then Numbers, okay? Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32, verse 1 to 5. Though the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock, and when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, to the leaders of the congregation, saying, all these other names, I'm going to go to verse 4. The country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock. And your servants, we have plenty livestock. Therefore, they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. Can you imagine that? They said, we know God has planned for us to go over the Jordan to the promised land. Please, do not take us to the promised land. We don't want to go. Why? Why didn't they want to go? Put this in your notes. These 2.5 tribes were more concerned about financial success rather than pleasing God. This place was so enticing, for without much effort, they could feed all the cattle they wanted. They didn't even have to work hard. The place was so ideal for livestock. And they made a decision. We're just not happy. We're happy right here. Left to some Christians, if they could live right here on earth for a while, they don't necessarily want to need to go to heaven. And I'm going to do a survey. But sometimes you hear people say, heaven, you ever heard anybody say, heaven is right here? You ever heard that one? Heaven's right here. But my friend, if heaven is right here, man, what a mess heaven is with all them killings. In some parts of Philadelphia, people are just walking around like zombies on highs. They're so high. And you're going to tell me this is heaven? How many people got shot last night? I haven't checked the news. This is heaven? May God have mercy on anybody who starts thinking this is heaven. Thank God there is a heaven. Amen. Thank God there is a heaven where there ain't no dying over there. There's no sickness over there. The doctors have no business over there. Amen. Because everybody is going to be healthy. What a hope we have. And these people had the privilege of following God and being in the place that he had provided. But they said, no, 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 no. This looks good enough for me. Make no mistakes. Christians still face this temptation today. I'm going to put on something on the board. I'm going to ask those of you who are really ready to make a commitment to God on this matter, that you, we all read it out together, those who want to. Because perhaps you're struggling. And so I want us to make a commitment, because sometimes we're struggling. The prosperity or the ease of life or all these things are so tempting that sometimes we don't want to go all the way with Jesus. We just want to enjoy what we can enjoy right now without all this work. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the thing. Put it up. We will never allow, it says, we will never allow our career, our job, our business interests to cause us to put God's plan in the back burner. Can we say that together? If you mean it, we will. Say it with me. We will never allow our jobs, our careers, our business interests to cause us to put God's plan on the back burner. Do you believe God could have taken care of them in the promised land? Come on now, talk to me. You ain't talking to me. Do you believe God could have taken care of them and their cattle in the promised land? Why is it so easy for us to believe we have a plan that's better than God's plan? Because that's really what it boiled down to. They figured they had a better plan than God's plan. And let's not kid ourselves. This is as real as it has ever been. It's happening right now, because perhaps there's somebody listening to me, whether on the radio or on the internet or right here. And as you're listening, you're thinking about a plan. You're a Christian, but some of you might even be thinking of drifting away from God and drifting away from the church and doing your own thing. We have a better plan. The church ain't fun. I can tell you I've been around for a while, a minute and a half, and I can tell you there is joy, joy, joy. In my Father's house, there is joy, there is fulfillment, there is peace in my Father's house. And today, I encourage you to come and enter my Father's house. These tribes made a deal with Moses. If they were allowed to stay, they agreed they would come when the time for fighting came. They would fight with the rest of Israel. And when the war was finished, they'd go back across the Jordan to their homeland. That was the plan. And so now here it was in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was calling them to fulfill their responsibility. And that's what they did. But after the fighting was over and they returned home across the Jordan, they realized they were far away from the place of worship. They need also, they found out that their children had started to forget who they were. And sometimes those of us who decide to be half-hearted, we don't realize we're damaging our children, because quite often our children forget who they are in Jesus. And so these people realize that, listen, it was too far to worship now, because every time you worship, you have to cross the Jordan. And the children, they didn't see any of their other tribes. Only them 2.5 tribes. What happened to all the other 9.5? They lost sense of who they were. They lost sense of their identity. And in Joshua chapter 22, verse 10, they erected what the Bible calls their own very impressive altar. This almost started a war. I don't have time to go into all of this stuff. But it almost caused a war. The 2.5 tribes represent borderline Christians. And sadly, there are a whole lot of borderline Christians. We're just barely at the edge. But this morning, God is talking to somebody. They came close to the inheritance. They were right on the brink. But they never fully claimed it. I'm talking to somebody this morning. You're on the brink. Rebounding in basketball only happens because something went wrong. You may never think of it that way. The only reason someone rebounds is because somebody missed a shot. Am I right about it, Nick? I might not be a basketballer, but I think I know that much. Somebody missed a shot, and instead of going in the basket, it hit the backboard. But did you know that rebounding is one of the most important skills in basketball? If you ask Will Chamberlain, he'll tell you that without the 23,924 rebounds, you didn't know it was that much, did you? 23,924 rebounds Will Chamberlain made. He said without that, he would not be regarded as the first or second greatest player in history. You see, rebounding in basketball is critical. But it's also important in life. And I bring this message to a close. I want to ask you, are you good at rebounding? Thank God Moses was. At age 40, Moses was a loser, really. His personal life seemed to have been a failure. But after he encountered God at the burning bush, Moses made a big rebound. For that day, Moses made a decision to wholly follow the Lord. That man whose life was a failure rebounded. And Moses became one of the greatest heroes of the Bible. Perhaps right now, your life seems to be a failure. But thank God, he is a God who loves to see rebounds. And this morning, if you would come to him and say, Lord, I'm making a full commitment, he's going to help you make a rebound. And he's going to change your life and make it a thing of beauty and glory. Would you do that right now?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.